And it is Law and Gospel here on Worldwide KFUO Radio on this Wednesday, October the 9th, in the year of our Lord, 2013. I'm Tom Baker, your host for this session, where we're going to be answering a question about Wikipedia. Wikipedia? Why would you want to answer a question about Wikipedia? Well, you see, Wikipedia is kind of like an encyclopedia on the internet, and I tell you, most times I go to it specifically about theology, it's rarely correct. But we're going to be taking a look at what Wikipedia says about Lutheranism. And I have to say, in preparation for this, I was quite surprised how accurate it is. And you can call me at 821-0850 in the St. Louis area, 821-0850, or long distance anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Now, a lot of times Wikipedia may be accurate, but it may not be fully developed. For example, it is a lengthy article in Wikipedia about Lutheranism, and I went to what is a Law and Gospel section, and it was only 3 lines. And here's what it says. Lutherans understand the Bible as containing 2 distinct types of content termed law and gospel, or law and promises. Properly distinguishing between law and gospel prevents the obscuring of the gospel teaching of justification by grace through faith alone. Now, to a great degree, that is quite accurate, although it can be open to misunderstanding. For example, when we say that it contains 2 distinct types of content termed law and gospel or law and promises, people can be confused because the word promise can also apply to the law. For example, the law says, do this and you will live. Isn't that a promise? Do this and you will live. Law and gospel. But the law has promises, and the gospel has promises. So if I was rewriting this article, what I would talk about is there are 2 distinct types of content termed law and gospel, and that can be understood law as conditional promises, and gospel as unconditional promises. That's how you distinguish. So if you're reading a passage and it is a conditional promise that you will be saved if you do something, say something, think something, that is definitely law. If it is an unconditional promise on the basis of the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, then that would be the gospel. Now, I think I know why they say law and promises, because in the confessions of the Lutheran Church, the Augsburg Confession, the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, when Melanchthon, who was a sidekick to Luther, wrote those, in the Latin, he uses the word law, and then for gospel, he says promises. But he explains he's talking about unconditional promises. So that's pretty well where they get the idea that the gospel is promises. And the other reason that a lot of times the term promise is affiliated with gospel is because what is the gospel? One is saved not by believing the historical accounts of the Bible. One is saved by believing the promises connected to those historical accounts. So properly distinguishing between law and gospel prevents the obscuring of the gospel teaching of justification by grace through faith alone. Now, I'll give you an example from the days of Roman Catholicism at the time of the Reformation, where they did not distinguish properly between law and gospel. A coin into the coffer rings a soul from purgatory springs. They really believed, and that's what they taught, and it was a man named Tetzel who was selling these indulgences, and people thought they could buy their way out of purgatory, not only for themselves, but also for relatives who had already died. Now, that's a perfect example of misusing what the law is for. The law is very good. It tells us the will of God. However, when you confuse law and gospel, that means you misuse either law or gospel. Now, how can you misuse the law? By using it as a stepping stone to heaven or as a ladder to heaven. The gospel can be misused also, because a lot of people think that's just good news. So you can say, well, if you're really kind to your friends, or according to Mark 10, if you give away all your money to the poor, then you will have treasure in heaven. Now, you see, that is a misuse of the law. Because in that context of Mark 10, Jesus is saying the following to a man who says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus is telling them, those who are listening as well as a rich man, oh, you want to do something? Well, you got to get rid of all your sin. And since you trust your money, one way to get rid of that sin is to give it all away. So if you trust money more than you trust God, then the antidote would be to give away your money. But guess what? There's a lot of other sins that you have. So that's only one of thousands of sins that you would have to stop doing. So that's a misuse of the law, to take passages of the law and think that Jesus is serious, that if you give away all your money and give it to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven. No, that's not possible for a person to do because of the evil motivation within himself. The next article we want to look at is justification, and I think this is well written. Yes, in Wikipedia. The key doctrine, or they say the material principle of Lutheranism, is the doctrine of justification. That is the material which we want to preach and teach in sermons and Bible studies, because we want Lutherans to believe, as it continues, that humans are saved from their sins by God's grace alone, through faith alone. Now, the prepositions are really important, because we do not believe that humans are saved from their sins through grace alone, by faith alone. Well, what's the difference? We believe that God's grace is not something that is given to us so that we can cooperate with it in order to be saved. No, God's grace is the announcement that He does save us. And He saves us through the means that He provides us by the Holy Spirit of faith alone. And Lutherans believe that this grace is granted for the sake of Christ's merit alone. Orthodox Lutheran theology, it goes on, holds that God made the world, including humanity, perfect, holy, and sinless. However, Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, trusting in their own strength, knowledge, and wisdom. Consequently, people are saddled with original sin. And then explains that you're born sinful, and it is impossible to avoid committing sinful acts. For Lutherans, original sin is the chief sin, a root and fountainhood of all actual sins. Now, they even do a pretty good job in talking about good works. Lutherans teach that sinners, while capable of doing good works that are outwardly good, are not capable of doing works that satisfy God's justice. Now, see, if you just had that statement, that would be really confusing. Why doesn't outwardly good works satisfy God's justice? Because what satisfies God's justice is not just outwardly doing a good work, but also having the proper motivation for doing that work out of love for Christ. Motivation is everything. Just think about, even in the temporal world, how motivation is everything. Let's say I'm going to give an apple to the teacher. Am I doing it because I like the teacher, or am I doing it because I want better grades? And this occurs in all of life. How many times do we act towards someone not the way we really want to act, but rather than getting into problems with them, we pretend to be nice to them, knowing full well that if we weren't, well, they wouldn't be our friends. And we love to have everybody be our friend. So, very good with Wikipedia. They go on to explain why outwardly good works are not capable of doing works that satisfy God's justice, because every human thought and deed, and I would add, and word, is infected with sin and sinful motives. So there they get to the motivation. See, on Judgment Day, God's not going to judge you by your outward works. He's going to read your heart. And if there are any works that are done out of love for Jesus Christ, and the Christian is doing them constantly, even beyond your knowledge, then that isn't called an outwardly good work. It's really called a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, what is key in this article is the fact that everything focuses on Jesus Christ. Wikipedia says, God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, into the world to redeem and deliver us from the power of the devil and bring us to himself and to govern us as a king of righteousness, life, and salvation against sin, death, and an evil conscience, as a large catechism explains. In fact, they even quote the Formula of Concord, which is one of the last documents in the Book of Concord, namely the Lutheran Confessions. Christ submitted to the law for us, bore our sin, and in going to his Father performed complete and perfect obedience for us poor sinners, from his holy birth to his death. Thereby he covered all of our disobedience, which is embedded in our nature and in its thoughts, words, and deeds, so that this disobedience is not reckoned to us as condemnation, but is pardoned and forgiven by sheer grace because of Christ alone. So, the point that's being made here, according to the Formula of Concord, is that when we say that Jesus Christ died for our sins, bore our sin, what does that mean? It means that he paid the punishment for our sin. Now think about that. Let's say you're arrested for jaywalking. Okay, and there's a ticket. Well, you don't have any money. If it says your father bore your crime for you, everybody would know that that meant that he paid the ticket in your place, which is permitted when it comes to just penalties where you have to pay cash. Now, if you were sentenced to jail, he couldn't do that, but God can. So he sentenced his son to a hell whereby he is found to be taking upon himself our sins. One of the most important areas of Lutheranism that divides us from particularly other Protestant denominations, not so much from Roman Catholicism, is the understanding of sacraments. And the first sentence is very good. Lutherans hold that sacraments are sacred acts of divine institution. Now, that's a whole mouthful. Now, you probably understand where the word sacrament comes from the word sacris in the Latin, sacred. And it is of divine institution, so that God delivers a message in a holy way. We find this, for example, when Moses was on Mount Sinai. He had to take off his sandals, remember? He was before a burning bush. And that was God in a sacred manner. So, God is, in a way, specific to each sacrament, present with the word and the physical component. So, we understand at least two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And in this, we mean that baptism has the physical component of water, and the Lord's Supper has the physical component of bread and wine. Now, it even mentions that the confessions speak of a third sacrament, namely absolution. And the reason that that is mentioned is because it also gives the forgiveness of sins. In a sense, there's no physical component to absolution. It's when the pastor says to you, upon this, your confession of sins, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the area on baptism, they talk about it as a means of grace, which I totally agree with, through which God creates and strengthens saving faith as the washing of regeneration, in which infants and even adults are reborn. Now, what do we mean by a means of grace? Do you notice, if you read the Bible, how God always uses means to fulfill his promises and his works? Like, he could have easily have led the people of Israel out of Egypt just by himself. But instead, he used Moses. He easily could have built a temple for himself, all by himself. He just could have erected it in 4 seconds. He used Solomon. Time and time again, God uses means, as he does today. And the means are there really to help us be assured of our salvation. If you ask somebody, how can you be sure that you are saved? Some people will say, well, I do good works. Oh, really? Let's analyze your good works until we find the sin that is within each one of them, because of motivation. So that's not much of assurance. Other people will say, well, I have faith. Oh, is that faith so complete that you never doubt, you never have questions, you never sin? Every time you sin, that is a sign that you've dropped away from your faith. Because what's at the center of sin? The letter I. And so every sin is a breaking of the first commandment. And the word I is simply a way in which you replace yourself with God. Really, really critical here. So, one of the most important things they talk about, and that is conversion. In Lutheranism, conversion or regeneration in the strict sense of the term is the work of divine grace and power by which man, born of the flesh and void of all power to think, to will, or to do any good thing, dead in sin, is through the gospel and holy baptism taken from a state of spiritual death under God's wrath into a state of spiritual life, of faith and grace, thereby rendered able to will and to do what is spiritually good, and especially made to trust in the benefits of the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So, during conversion, one is moved from impenitence to repentance. In other words, that cannot happen by a choice of your will. It has to happen by the Word of God. And that Word of God says very clearly that we are saved by grace through faith and using Ephesians without any work on our part so that we cannot boast. As I was saying, this is really quite interesting how good Wikipedia is. I don't know who wrote the article, but I'm sure it's somebody who is steeped in Lutheran theology. So I wanted to get to some of the tough doctrines that we have, and the one is on predestination. In fact, if you listen to the program right after mine today with Reverend Zwanitzer, they're talking about predestination. So you should get quite a bit out of that. But let's take a look at what Wikipedia says. Lutherans adhere to divine monergism. Now, every time they have a technical phrase like that, it's in blue, which means you can click it and get a lot more articles about it. But let's say what they say. What is this divine monergism? It is a teaching that salvation is by God's act alone, and therefore rejects the idea that humans in their fallen state have a free will concerning spiritual matters. That is really well said. Because it is obvious we have free will in temporal matters. We can decide what house to buy, what church to go to, who to marry, all kinds of things. But in spiritual matters, and that is to become a member of the family of God, we have no free will in that area at all. The article goes on. They cannot work spiritual righteousness in the heart without the presence and aid of the Holy Spirit. Lutherans believe Christians are saved, that all who trust in Christ alone and his promises can be certain of their salvation. If you want to ask a question on any of this, St. Louis, it's 821-0850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. According to Lutherans, therefore, unlike Calvinists, Lutherans do not believe in a predestination to damnation. What that means, Calvin believed that, well, if God predestines people to heaven, then isn't it reasonable to assume he predestines people to hell? Well, the problem with that, and it's quoted here in Wikipedia, that they reference the verse, God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God can't have two wills. He can't have two desires, namely, willing people to heaven and then willing them to hell. Or at the same time, willing them to hell and willing that they're all saved. That doesn't make any sense. So it says, Lutherans instead teach eternal damnation is a result of the unbeliever's sins, rejection of the forgiveness of sin, and unbelief. That is an excellent job on predestination. So what remains is a question that comes up again and again. How do we regard good works? If good works cannot save us, then why do them? And here's what it says. Lutherans believe that good works are the fruit of faith always and in every instance. Good works have their origin in God, not in the fallen human heart. Lutherans do not believe that good works are a factor in obtaining salvation. Good works are instead the natural result of faith, not the cause of salvation. Let me give an analogy for that. Let's say somebody wanted to be adopted into a certain family. Let's say the child is 10 or 11 years old. Can they get adopted by going to the home and eating the meals and sleeping in the bed and wearing the clothes and driving the bicycles? No. All those things happen after you are adopted. Adoption isn't something that the child does. Adoption is something the parents do. And therefore, when they do it, they do it according to the will of God, which is really very, very good. So, if we're taking a look at salvation by grace through faith, and somebody asks you, what does Lutheranism teach? I'll tell you, I've been pretty impressed with the Wikipedia articles. In fact, going through them, I don't see anything that is contrary to what we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod believes, which is kind of unusual for Wikipedia, which means they had somebody who was very good at putting this together. So we're always trying to give you ways to witness. Like Friday, we're going to be talking about the hymn for the coming Sunday and how you go over it with your children and then kind of go from there. But in this situation, what we need to keep in mind is that we can share the Lutheran belief with many people, but it finally comes down to telling them what Jesus himself says. And that can be found in Wikipedia. Wikipedia can become a way in which you do witness to others just by pointing to them the wonderful message that is found there. I'm Tom Baker. You've been listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, October the 9th. Tomorrow, October the 10th, is your name written in the Book of Life? And by the way, if it is it written in pen or pencil? And is forgiveness complete or incomplete? We're going to be talking with our good friend Wes Reimnitz tomorrow on those issues. And so we encourage you to be with us so that we can discuss this and you can phone in if you have a question. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.